The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Another one of your things, Jeffy, is going mega viral right now. An untreatable gonorrhea superbug is spreading around the world.
Oh, is that you?
That's, I mean, I just assumed you were patient zero. That's kind of... kind of where I started on the story. Mm-hmm. Is it? How was this? Is it
I
a nice
realize,
superbug?
Did you well, interview actually, it? To be honest, I didn't realize what I had was part of the superbug strain.
That is kind of a serious issue, though. Untreatable strains of gonorrhea on the rise, as the World Health Organization has warned, fueling fears that last resort drugs will soon be futile after three confirmed cases in which antibiotics were ineffective.
I mean, they've been crying about this for years, right? Yeah. I mean, that they've been pumping people full of antibiotics, and sooner or later, these bugs are going to say, no, no more, we can beat that drug, too, and we're not going to have anything to help people.
Maybe you should stop touching people. Maybe that's another answer. Maybe not changing the entire world of medicine, and maybe staying inside. You know, maybe that would be a...
Isolation. I'm thinking isolation.
Yeah, like maybe...
Like a, I don't know, quarantine sort of. Situation, we might quarantine him.
Maybe in a jail cell.
Yeah.
You know, or something a little bit more enclosed. Because, I mean, there's bars, they don't really
even with
them.
The, I mean...
If he sneezes or something.
When it flares up,
right.
It's painful. So, I mean, you still want me in jail even with the flare-ups?
Yes.
More than ever.
Stunningly true. another Jeffy-inspired world tragedy, the opioid crisis. I thought this was fascinating because, you know, it's one of those things... I will say, every time I see a headline about the opioid crisis, I'm like... Scroll.
Me like too.
I don't know
Me
why I feel bad.
It's not. It's just. Yeah. It doesn't capture my imagination.
I know. I feel bad about that because in reality, it's terrible. I mean, it's worse than the crack epidemic by a lot.
Yeah.
It's not. It's there's. These are not close to each other, as far as scale goes. So it's a big deal, and I don't know why it's. It doesn't feel as big a deal. I guess you know, crack. L.A., New York, big cities where this is maybe a little bit,
suburban.
More rural areas. Yeah. I don't know. That might be the reason why it doesn't feel as big a news story. However, it's a big human tragedy right now. People are really having a lot of problems with it. One of the really fascinating parts about this, however, is it's upending a long-term liberal complaint, which maybe shows you that maybe the complaint wasn't so legitimate in the first place.
Really?
So they're talking about what a big problem this is, and how in the past blacks seemed disproportionately filling prison cells because of these types of crimes related to drugs, much more than rural or suburban whites. But that trend has begun to reverse itself in the past decade, according to New York Times analysis of the National Corrections Reporting Program last year. New York Times reported that white rural Americans are going to prison more often and for longer sentences than urban blacks, a giant leap from 10 years ago when people in urban and suburban and rural areas on balance went to prison at the same clip. Now, according to New York Times study of prison data, people who live in rural regions have seen incarceration rates go up by 36% in that decade. Much of it coincides with the opioid epidemic that is crippling all of rural America. It also coincides with a bipartisan push from Washington to decrease the mass incarceration numbers of large cities. While blacks still comprise a disproportionate number of inmates, that number has fallen, and the same goes for Hispanics. In short, if you are rural and white and you break drug laws, you more likely will go to prison for a longer period than your suburban and urban cousins.
Wow.
That is pretty amazing.
I mean, it is.
And I still hear, you know, Black Lives Matter will tell you that all they do is, they're just trying to put black people, even Rand Paul. It does this all the time. Well, look, drug laws. Rand Paul seems to be just making a convenient argument against drug prohibition. So I guess this is why he does it. But he's always like, oh, they've disproportionately hit black families and minorities. Seems to be the opposite now. That actually has seemed to change. And you, if you think about it too, you have an exploding epidemic of opioid cases in the middle of the country, and even the Northeast, but rural areas largely. And at the same time, a lot of the changes have been made to the law, I think correctly, to not disproportionately punish certain drugs over others that would typically fall on African-American communities or inner-city communities. The crack cocaine one was always the obvious one, where, like, you know, if you have your crack, they're basically the same drug from a chemical standpoint, but you have it was 3 and 4 times the prison sentences for crack. well, that doesn't really make much sense. And that's been largely corrected. But now that it's been corrected, and now that they're trying to have like outreach and have people go get treatment, the wealthier cities have the money for these treatment programs where the rural areas don't. So they're sending the people in the rural areas to prison, and they're treating the people in the inner cities. And so now it's actually reversed itself. It's kind of an interesting trend.
Yeah.
And it kind of upends, you know, all this knowledge we supposedly knew.
Indeed.
Over a decade, too.
Indeed.
But again, this is the problem with these stories, is that that's your reaction to it.
Yeah, I know.
Indeed.
I know, indeed.
I know, well.
Indeed.
I mean, what do you do?
I know.
What do you do?
Is it? Let me ask you this.
You go to the
clinic
and get your free needle and shoot up with the townies.
Let me ask you this question, though, and I mean this honestly. Unlike Jeffy, I just don't feel like it's going to hit me. It just doesn't feel like the opioid thing is so, like, I don't feel like that's a problem I'm going to have. So it's out of, there's so many other problems I have to deal with. Like because it doesn't feel like a problem I'm going to have, I just kind of like,
it could be
really
at any time though. You know, you get a back issue or you get a, who knows what kind of problem, you know, maybe arthritis or whatever. And then you start taking, of course, or with arthritis, it's not the same because it's usually not an opioid, I don't think. But
no,
I mean, you could be prescribed these things and then
it could
become dependent on them.
I mean, because you obviously have a really bad back plate. Jeffy's got, I mean,
Jeffy's
God
got
only knows how many diseases he's fighting right now.
True.
I mean, I guess it's true. And not to mention, a lot of this is with kids.
Yeah.
You know, and I certainly have kids. I just, for some reason, it doesn't connect like... Because they would tell you, before this incident happened, they would tell you, well, you don't care about the crack epidemic because it's not white people in the suburbs.
Right.
Well, you know, now it's white people in the suburbs. I don't really care about it either.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying either one of those things is right. It's just, I mean, I do care about
There's
it.
There's a big story in the New Yorker.
It's top of my mind all the time.
There's a big story in the New Yorker that I haven't read yet, but I have it in my queue to read, is the addict next door. You know, based on the opioid epidemic. You know, that's what you're talking about. I mean, is your next door neighbor doing something bad, going to hurt your family because of it?
And for most people, that's rhetorical, but you actually sold them the drug, so you know the answer is yes.
I mean, people got to have what they got to have.